then why? Why are you putting people through this?
Psychedelic Secret.
That's right, you're listening to The Psychedelic Secret, coming to you from the American Southwest, home to cactuses and more cactuses. Pretty much that's all there is.
Oh, and the Roadrunner.
Roadrunners.
And Coyote.
And coyotes who eat the cactuses. Anyway, welcome to the show. This is our first show, and I'm here with my guest,
Maddie Franklin.
Maddie Franklin. Thank you very much. And the reason I have her here with us today is because we're going to talk about an interesting subject, at least interesting to me, about omnism and what it means to her to be an omnist. I'll let you take over and kind of talk a little about that. How about first, just what is omnism for our audience?
Well, omnism in the very basic form is the belief in all religions. It was a 1839 poem by Philip J. Bailey, and he says, "I am an omnist and believe in all religions." And that essentially ties it up. You could be a more specific omnist, like a Christian omnist, a Jewish omnist, but in general, it's the belief in all religions as a basic foundation.
Okay, so it sounds good. I have a couple of questions, of course.
Okay.
Otherwise, the show would be very short, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Anyway, okay. So you say that you can be different kinds of omnis. You said Christian omnis, this sort of thing. This sounds very open. What about, and you mentioned these mainstream religions. What about people who believe, for instance, this show is called The Psychedelic Secret.
Mm-hmm.
And psychedelics play a key role for some folks. When they talk about spirituality and these things as a pathway. Does omnism include this sort of thing? What does it include?
I feel in my own personal experience, it's been the basis of finding omnism from psychedelics and different experiences from myself and other people as well. But essentially, my belief system is that it's kind of like there's a web of existence and life and everything included in it, but somehow there's a strand of truth in lots of different places, and you have to just be vigilant and find where you find truth for you.
That's true, sure.
And that's in lots of different religions, so that's why I would say I'm an omnist. It has to do with all of that, the whole picture, really.
I like that, the whole picture. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good explanation. I think that's why this interested me when I first heard about this. I thought, wow, I mean, I could fit into this mold a little bit. I'm not mold, but whatever is a description. I think naturally,
sure,
as human beings, I know from my own experience, you search out, others like you. You search out a description because you want to understand maybe, what is this? What am I? That kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad that you're very open-minded to the psychedelic thing and that this led to that. I could see that. I mean, was there any one certain experience maybe that told you taught you to be more open-minded, especially towards other belief systems as a whole?
I'm just going to tell you a little bit of my background. I grew up believing, my dad's a minister and I came from a very religious family. And I grew up believing in what I now call, the Santa God, which,
Sorry.
Well,
continue.
The Santa God is essentially the idea that God is the dude up in the sky and he has the gray beard and he's kind of a creepy old man because he just spends all his time staring at you like he has nothing else better to do, and when you're doing really good things, you can pray to him and you can get that brand new car that you really want and you can get, you can win the lotto or you can beg for someone's life. It's this,
the God from TV, right? I mean,
absolutely.
The purple haired lady sitting in a chair, golden chair, she's still doing the show.
Right. I mean, just the whole idea that you can bargain with someone who is like Santa, but he's God and he can do everything. And he's just waiting for a request from you. He's just sitting around. He has nothing better to do. And so good behavior is rewarded. Bad behavior is, not. It's a very old-fashioned, limiting way of seeing God, in my opinion. And that's not who I believe in.
I would agree, although I will say I'm very disappointed he doesn't grant car wishes because I could probably use them right about now. Anyway, okay, well, that's pretty good. I like that. And Now, since we talked a little bit about these categories of omnist, is there any one specific way that you would label yourself? Or do you just keep it, I'm an omnist? Or would you say that you're like, I don't know, Christian, a Jewish omnist, a Hindu omnist? What, or, you know,
well,
what are the details of your sort of strand of the thing?
I believe the most accurate label that you could put on me at all is that I'm completely crazy. So
I like that.
That's the best way to see me. This is probably the closest label. I have a lot of different opinions and lots of different background and a lot of different things. But I think this podcast is going to be very interesting because it's a good platform for that. Unfortunately, most of us go through our everyday lives and we just can't talk about anything that we're passionate about, anything we care about. We end up talking about celebrities and gossip and who's having whose baby. And, you know, I'm ready
Justin
to kind
Bieber
of...
Justin Bieber is having a baby. I read that last recently.
That's a scientific miracle.
Miracles everywhere. Look at that. No, I agree. I think for me as well, starting this podcast, it's been sort of because of that same reason. It's hard to talk about this stuff with your coworkers, with everyday people.
Absolutely.
Especially when you start to get into the whole psychedelic thing.
Yeah.
Although this show obviously is going to have a lot more, a wide spectrum of things we're going to touch on, which is why we're starting here.
Sure.
But yeah, I respect that. That's very, yeah. very cool. Well, thank you for describing to us what omnism is and sort of what it is to you. And you'd mentioned just a little bit about your father being a minister, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What a church was this, or what sort of, was this Christian minister?
Yeah. It was it's a Christian church. It was a Presbyterian. Not that
good old Presbyterians. They've been around forever.
Oh, super old religion.
They got it down pat. Didn't you get all your answers right then and there?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I can
no, no disrespect. No disrespect. I think God is in lots of different paths, but for me, it did not work. Basically, I started out my life, you know, just believing every single thing that was given to me by my parents, by my church community, and just accepting that as truth because it's your parents. They must know everything, and you just don't question it until you get older. And then as I got older, I actually had an encounter with a girl in my high school. And
what do you mean by that? I'm just kidding. I'll let you go on.
Anyways, basically this girl was really nice. We were in the most boring class ever. It was SAT prep, so we just had nothing to do but talk. It was pretty boring. And I still failed. No, just kidding. But anyways, she was talking to me about how basically she had grown up Jehovah's Witness, and that's a pretty intense religion to grow up with. But she said that she found herself to be pagan, and, she felt like she had to hide this from her parents for obvious reasons. And as the semester, came closer to an end, we were both going to graduate, and she found that she felt herself to be a lesbian. So
wow, that's a double whammy right there.
Absolutely. And I think it was devastating for her because she told me that she was going to tell her parents about both things, and she knew that it would have a bad outcome. And she essentially said she was going to have a friend waiting in the car with all her stuff packed up because she knew the instant she told her parents that she's a lesbian and she's a pagan, that they were going to kick her out and completely remove her from the family history, erase her birth records, and just say that they never had a daughter.
Ouch.
That was devastating to me to find that out, that parents who are supposed to love you and care about you could potentially just throw you out because you have a different belief system from them.
And that, I think that brings up a good point. I mean, a lot of times these religions, at least from the perspective that I've seen and had and know of people to have, they're supposed to be initially about love and some very positive yeah. things. And these are things you hear about, but then you also hear this stream of very negative behaviors like this, you know, of being hateful towards your own child, you know, for switching religion.
Yeah.
That's a hard one. I'd love to hear how that fits into omnism. I mean,
I think they get lost along the way, unfortunately. They started out really good and they've just been corrupted. I think the idea of seeking after God in general is a very virtuous path, and I don't think, you know, that's a bad path to be taking ever, but I think people get too fixated on, you know, having to go to church every Sunday or having to do this or that or what's a sin and what isn't. And they get lost and they forget that God is love. And that's kind of bringing me back to my point that as I was growing up, I believed that there was a God and I believed that God is love. And when I found this out, I thought, absolutely, that conflicts with everything I believe, because if God is love, her parents should love her no matter what. No matter if everything that they taught her is different from what she believes now, they should love her anyways. And they didn't, you know, and that was very frustrating for me. So it led me down a path of questioning my own church and my own background and seeing what they had to say about it. And unfortunately, they said that they were not going to make a statement about that. They believed that it was wrong to be gay. And that it's a sin.
This is your own family saying it was wrong to be gay, is that right?
I mean, my own family, the Presbyterian Church in general, some people have said that it's fine and other people have not. It just depends on the very specific church. But in general, my own specific church believed that it was wrong and that it's an active sin that you continue to participate in and, you just need to be fixed. There's something wrong with you, and we can't really fully accept you into the church. We'll care about you. You can come to church, but you need to fix this. And that was devastating for me.
Well, that brings up a good point, though, then. Now, let me ask you this. As far as being an omnist, or at least in your specific belief system, you mentioned being fixed, and that's something we hear a lot of times, you know, from especially from Christianity in general, but all religions, they seem to have these good things and these bad things they're trying to get out of people. Everyone seems to be needing to be fixed. Is that something, as an omnist, you see to be the case? Do people need to be fixed? You know, does the serial killer need to be fixed? Let's go extreme on this one.
I think we as human beings all have something to work on. But I don't think that we need to be fixed necessarily. We need to take self-improvement causes. We need to be proactive. But I don't think being gay or anything like that, I think that we accept wherever we're at and say, this is something I really need to work on my patience level. I just don't have the patience for this. Or, you know, whatever your thing is that you know inside yourself that you need to work on, you should work on that no matter what it is. So I think that we all come broken.
Not moral issues like...
And I don't think you should be judged by it. I don't... Okay. I think the only person that can judge you is God. And I don't think he's shaking a finger in your face telling you that you're wrong, you're an idiot, why are you screwing this up, what's wrong with you? It's not like that at all. And I think that's a very human thing to believe that. So I think it's a personal journey you need to make, which to me, so I made that journey of trying to find out what do I believe and what do I believe that accompanies the idea that God is love and that he would never say, you know, you are not my child now, you need to get out of the house. God would never do that. So I think that the idea that anyone would do that is away from God.
It sounds like a loving God is one of the main tenets of
absolutely your belief system. For me, yeah.
Okay. I can see that. Okay, so you're taking the best and sort of separating of the darkness of religion, maybe pushing it off a little bit, the parts that you don't agree with. So it is like a pick and choosing in a way, but
everything is. I think
use that as your guide for your personal belief system that God is love, and whatever doesn't match that, you're throwing away. It sounds like.
I think everyone does this to some extent. I mean, I've met people that say they're devout Catholics, but they don't believe in original sin, or they don't believe in, you know, sex before marriage. They don't believe in all these tenets that the Catholic Church believes. So I think everyone is kind of doing that, whether they fixate to a religion or not. They're picking and choosing what they believe in and going with it. And I'm not any different. But I just find that my belief system isn't necessarily encompassed in one specific label, except for in omnism.
See, so this, it seems like this term is a really great term to be putting on a modern sort of look at things, because more often for me, I run into people all the time who have different belief systems. It doesn't seem like they really adhere to any one specific one. That's something, especially, you know, millennials and sort of younger generation seems to really have no fixed place to call home. They have a wide spectrum of beliefs, and I can say for my own self that seems to be the case. So you call those folks omnis, maybe unaware omnis, they just don't know it yet, or
maybe I don't think we all need labels to get along in the world, but it is nice to have some labels sometimes. But I feel in my own personal life that basically that led me down a journey of trying to study all the different religions. I studied you know, Christianity, Buddhism, you know, all kinds of different things. And basically, I came out an Omnist after a lot of it, but I really liked the Tao Te Ching teachings. I liked a lot of the Buddhist stuff, but I found a lot of tenets in Christianity that I felt like were refreshing, but it's not the traditional views, which eventually led me down a path of finding psychedelics and finding that they not only reverberated the thoughts that I was having, but strengthened them and helped me to find even more truth than I previously discovered, and just broke me wide open to a brand new experience of life.
Oh, okay. So, and now, in regards to psychedelics, which we should talk about since this is
the psychedelic secret.
There we go. Although, shh, don't tell anybody. Just kidding. Anyway, so in regards to that, you say it changed you. Now, what's the story there? What's your, let's say, your first psychedelic experience, it sounds like, happened after all this, but if you don't mind kind of describing to us how that happened, or, you know, change the names of places, whatever you need to do. But what's the story?
Well, someone I knew was going through something, and they were essentially thinking about all the same things I was thinking about and trying to see where God's love fits in, and was very stuck on very specific rules that different churches find themselves in, and it was just a path into destruction, and this person was going to try and kill themselves, and they ended up doing psychedelics instead, and it totally saved their life. And seeing that for me made me really want to try it out. I'd never been into that kind of thing before, but I saw what a big difference it had made for them.
It saved this person's life. It sounds
absolutely
like.
And okay. It totally changed them. They went from a very depressed, suicidal person that just had nothing into someone who just breathes life and can see the miracle of every day. And it was totally a transformative experience, and I wanted to experience that for myself as well. So I ended up having an ayahuasca experience.
Ayahuasca. For those of you who don't know, what is ayahuasca?
Well, it's DMT. It's originated from the Amazon, and there's actually several documentaries on it. Terrence McKenna talked about it. Joe Rogan's done it, or maybe he hasn't. But basically, there's a lot of basis in it.
These are plant derived, so plants that contain DMT
comes from a tree,
right? So
right, and it's found to have transformative effects on everyone who uses it. You know, that just shatters everything you know, but brings you back to a good place. And I actually, when I started, I had a very traumatic experience because it's intense, absolutely.
So DMT was the first psychedelic you ever took.
Yeah.
Wow. So there's no working the way up the ladder for
no.
you. It's just dive right
just
in.
Just dive okay. right in, which is a little intense.
That's pretty brave. That's okay. All right. So that's your first one. I'll let you kind of continue the story. Thanks for letting us know what that was.
Yeah.
So ayahuasca.
Basically, I did ayahuasca, and my first experience, I shut my eyes and I saw lots of different symbols throughout religions that were used over and over. I saw the Om symbol, which I found out later, and the star with the circle around it that the pagans use. I saw lots of different symbols, and they were all essentially what I could see from doing multiple searches online later. Those were all symbols that were used to call on God or call on spirits or angels, call on something higher. And then they started showing me lots of pictures, and it just goes so fast that it was hard, and I got frustrated because I think there was no gradual buildup. I just jumped right into an ayahuasca experience, which is pretty intense. But I jumped in, and I just told them to stop. I just couldn't take it. It was just too much. These beings, I guess, they were kind of multicolored. To me, they looked like cartoons, which is pretty cool.
Some sort of the entities, or how would you describe?
Like a community of, basically it's kind of like if you ever went to a roller rink when you were younger or anything, and there's those fluorescent lights that really refract, you know, from the black lights, everything looks really lit up and bright neon colors. And everything had an outline, and they were trying to show me a story. And they didn't talk to me the way me and you are talking right now. They talked to me in pictures, and it was kind of this like knowing of what they were saying without really being able to repeat it. So it was kind of like a telepathic experience the way they were communicating to me.
Oh, that's
by using pictures and things like that. So,
wow. Who thought Pictionary could be so fun, right? Alien Pictionary sounds great. Or Angelic Pictionary. I mean, real quick, not to stop you on this story, but so these beings, I mean, how do you see them? Are these extraterrestrials? You hear the sorts of things. You look online, you do a search, DMT, or other types of psychedelics as well, but it's contact with these beings. So would you describe them as alien or angelic? Or what's the term you would use? I guess that's what I'm getting at.
What
are they?
I don't know. They seem like beings or entities. It's hard to explain them because I think one of the main reasons I felt and knew in my heart that this was real and this was truth is it's nothing I've ever experienced before. People kind of shut down psychedelics or shut down a dream that you had or whatever because there's this general idea, oh, well, you ate pickles earlier, so of course you would dream about this, you know, or, you know, this kind of...
A psychedelic pickle.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
okay.
No, I get what you're saying. But
the idea
sort of
that it's just kind error. Of your biological effect just going in haywire in the same way that when you drink alcohol, your body's reacting because it's being poisoned, and so you get this kind of high, like, good feeling off of it, or this self-confidence or whatever. But it's kind of the idea that your brain is in shutdown mode and it's just freaking out, and it's just shit, you know, nothing good on it. It's just crazy.
For me, I found that these people who say these sorts of things are the kind of people who have never done anything.
They've never tried it, so they don't know what they're talking about.
Weed or whatever they're talking about, but I mean, their experience seems pretty low to none at all. And yet I've become in contact that they're so readily able to judge your experience, right?
I think, unfortunately, the most quote-unquote experts of a lot of things have actually no experience whatsoever in what they're talking about, which is truly unfortunate because I think it leads a lot of people astray. This is a substance that could really help with a lot of depression. It's helped with heroin addicts, meth addicts, all kinds of really intense situations that people come back completely healed from. And I'm not going to lie, it was intense. So anyways, they were telling me all these different messages. I saw a lot of stuff from Aztec culture, all kinds of different, and it was just going so fast. And I just ended up yelling out, stop. Like, I just can't do this anymore. I just felt like my brain was going to crack open. And everything went dark instantly. And I was extremely upset because I thought I had just ruined the most amazing experience of my life, you know, that I could never get it back, that I pissed off some amazing beings because I couldn't take it, you know? Like, what kind of person was I? Like, I just felt devastated by it, so...
Pretty tough yelling at alien-like beings or whatever.
That you know are higher than you, because they're so intelligent. They're
so
intelligent.
So you said stop, and this stopped.
They stopped, and they met me where I was at. And then actually, I went back in because I just thought, I can't leave this hanging where it is. I have to know, you know, what's going on or what happened, or, you know, maybe they could slow it down, or maybe I can meet with someone else. I don't know. I just had to go back in. So I went back in and, you know, same day, everything. And actually, I told you I was crazy. I feel and I believe with my whole heart that I met God. And
God.
Yeah, the one and only.
So when you say, like, this is, I mean, the all-powerful source of everything is God.
Yeah, but, so much more than a description could ever give. Like, it's like the way you would want your father or mother to, like, behave towards you, but, like, in a prismatic, like, amazing, like, perfect way that they would never have their own human intentions or mistakes or whatever. Like, it's just this pure love, and I felt all this love around me. And actually, because I was so traumatized, I think God really met me where I was at, and he appeared to look kind of like Ziggy, this little cartoon funny, you know, guy with a big honking nose, and, you know, just like a cute little relatable character.
I mean, what do you think the relevance of
for
that
my
form
sake.
Is? Yeah, for, okay, so for your sake. So
yeah.
Sort of, is this kind of like the information was coming so fast, you slowed it down, so how was this form picked, or?
I think that it's kind of, basically all the secrets that psychedelics holds, really, you just can't take it. Like, you can take little bits and pieces when you're ready for it, and they meet you where you're at. But it's kind of like talking about quantum physics to, like, a child who can't even talk yet. They're still pooping in their diaper. Like, it's kind of cruel. Like, the kid's not going to get it. They're going to get frustrated if they even understand you at all. So I really think God met me where I was at, which in that place, I was just, I needed something comfortable. I needed something in a childlike state that was loving and kind of fun and cute, you know? So I saw Ziggy.
Like a cartoon Ziggy, yeah.
Yeah, so I saw a cartoon Ziggy God, you know, and he hung out and talked to me and calmed me down. And just to me, the message was that destruction is a part of everyday life. And it's not that you should go around causing destruction. It's that destruction happens, but that God uses that towards a good thing. Like, it's not that God causes cancer in your sister and then your sister died and then you go, why, God, why? It's because I hit my teacher or, you know, something a long time ago.
Well, let's slow down there real quick. So you said his message to you in this state had to do with destruction. Why do you think that is, or what was it that you got this message about that subject?
Well, I've always kind of struggled because I feel I'm a very empathetic person. I've found that when I walk in a room, if there's some strong emotions going on, I immediately pick them up and take them on as my own. I kind of just absorb other people, and that's unfortunate because I can walk into the room completely happy and someone's having a really rough day and I just kind of meet them right where they're at. So it's been really hard for me to see destruction, to see negative attitudes and see people tearing each other apart, which is real existence. But I saw that pathway, and I think that those things happen, but God finds a way to use them towards good. It's not that God caused them. It's that we are free will beings existing on this plane as a gift, you know, from Him, that we can do whatever we want, and we have total control over our lives. But even though we screw things up, He's trying to fix the things we're screwing up because He still loves us. Yeah.
Wow, so this is a powerful meeting with God, and you said these symbols you saw first, just to backtrack a little bit, they were symbols of, you know, religious significance, and you, at the time, before all this, the message, you had no idea what these meant. You just remembered them and looked them up later, or how did you?
I saw a lot of things, and that, to me, is another thing that makes me believe it was true and real, because some people argue, like we were talking about earlier, that, oh, well, that's because you already had experience with this, or you saw this picture on this, or, you know, you're only able to pull things out of your memory that you've already experienced. I didn't have experience with lots of these different things. I never looked into Aztec culture or looked into, you know, I kind of knew about it, but I didn't know what the artwork looked
like.
You
saw, not just modern religious symbols, you saw ancient sort of
very ancient, very ancient. And it was just really intense. I saw different pyramids that I've never had exposure to. I saw different symbols that I never had exposure to. I saw very specific gods from Egyptian culture, which I, you know, haven't been around. You know, it's not the typical Disney Hercules type stuff. It's very specific.
No Mickey Mouse here, baby.
No. And when I went through that experience and I thought there's no possible way my brain could have made those things up because it's nothing that resonated with me. It's something that was very alien and weird. And when I went on the journey afterwards to look up what they meant, it started to evolve my whole life into realizing more of these truths and encompassing more of an idea of animism, not that this religion or that religion is wrong or it's bad or it's, you know, destructive or anything like that. But just in general, to try and see that everyone's trying and everyone that's trying, you know, you got to tip your hat to that. Like, they may be screwing some stuff up. They may be hurting other people, but they're trying, and God sees it like that. You know, that they're trying, and, you know, you have to do your best to try and be more compassionate towards those people.
A good effort. Okay. And so is this also what, I mean, this God sounds really loving and very kind. Is this where you got that God is love, essentially, and this sort of strengthened the idea? There was no judgment or anger from this being, or was there?
No. I feel like, and I've actually heard a lot of other people say this too, from near-death experiences. It's a very similar experience, but Basically, I believed before I went in that God is love, and the fact that I found that that's just the very beginning. God is like love times like infinity, you know? It's just, it's so incredible. And I just saw, like, at the very least, I saw someone that was sad by all the things that we do that's kind of screwed up to each other, you know? But he's still, like, trying to work on everyone. He's trying to help them, but still allowing them to have a free will existence, which I would honestly, if I was in charge, I would just wipe everyone out and start over because it would just be too frustrating. But he has infinite patience, infinite love, and he has compassion. I mean, he's the way everyone should be living, but, you know, some of us just are trying, you know, so.
Well, I like that. And just, I guess, as a question, so you said he a lot, so would you say God is a man, or what do we say he?
Well, I felt he was a he because I just had the feeling, but I have a friend who also did ayahuasca, and they had a conversation with God that basically God was married to a woman, and she was just as equal to God. Like, basically, male and female is not really important. Like, if you care if God is a man or a woman, it's kind of missing the point, because God loves women as much as he loves men. Like, he's not saying that men, you know, we live in a male-dominated society still, unfortunately, but it's really not the Abrahamic religion type stuff that men have to rule and women have to shut up and have the babies. Like, it's really not like that. Like, God made women not as this cast off and like diseased part of society. It's like very much a supportive role to the man, and, you know, in this very synchronistic way that they're equal to each other.
And it sounds like this is a flexible form, maybe like how you saw him as Ziggy, as a comforting thing.
Right.
That this sort of masculine nature, or maybe this was a comforting thing, who knows, but a flexible sort of.
Well, and later on, actually, several years later, I was having a different psychedelic experience, and I saw God as what could be described more as Brahma or Brahman, where he's this huge creature that's just insurmountable, like just so big.
And before you go on real quick, so mm-hmm. Brahman, you said, is this is a Hindu concept, right?
Right. I think that's the more flexible. I like the term Brahman because, in general, it has to do with the idea that God is in everything, a part of everything, but more than you could ever put a word on. It's this big, powerful source of love and compassion, but, you know, just ultimate power and but not in the way that we think of power, like, you know, horsepower in our engine. It's not like that. It's like
vroom vroom.
Yeah. Okay. But just able to do anything, including help save us from ourselves, you know? And I really think that that's part of, you know, I try to help in the ways that I can to try and bring people up. And I know lots of other people are doing that, to just try and help lead towards, you know, goodness and light and God. And we're all far from being there, but we're trying.
I like that term. I think, in my own life, I mean, I've heard that term a couple of years ago, and I really prefer it almost to saying God, because it's a lot of times, you know, they're all words. They're just words. And as you grow up in the grown-up world, you realize words are words, and we apply the meaning to those words, and, you know.
But in Western culture,
some things get tainted, right?
Right. In Western culture, God has very negative connotations. I mean, they've written, you know, on funerals, you know, God hates fags. Like, that is not the God I meant. And that is not the God that I believe to exist at all, except for the in idea of people that are talking about God. They don't understand, you know, and it's not their fault, you know, it's not anything like that, but it's frustrating, to say the least, to see such hate in the name of God. That's not what God wants at all, and that's absolutely the wrong word to put with that, you know. So saying God in that context and saying God in my context, they're totally different, but it's difficult because it's the same word, you know, so.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing this part of your story with us. I mean, it sounds really powerful.
Yeah.
And really personal, obviously.
Yeah.
And so ayahuasca, wow, it sounds like we all need to have a little more of this stuff floating around.
Let's all have a tea party.
A Mad Hatter's tea party.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I wanted to show you a little quote from a gentleman named Terence McKenna. I'm not sure if you've heard of him.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, right. He's one of the was one of the biggest proponents of psychedelics. And in this clip, he's talking about something called he calls a psychedelic society. And there's a question asked from someone in the audience as to what we can do to make these things, you know, a more comfortable issue. Because as you know, I'm sure we've ran into and we kind of touched on that briefly. It's really hard to talk about these things with the everyday person out there.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, let me ask you right away. Why do you think people are so threatened by psychedelics?
I think anyone's frightened of the things that they have not yet experienced. And the idea that you take something and go to a different universe or a different place or have a conversation with God sounds crazy. It sounds like some kind of cult following kind of thing, but honestly,
it sounds awesome to me, but I've done psychedelics.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid. There you go. No, but I think it's a totally unique experience for every single person. It's tailored for you and it just helps you evolve to the next state of consciousness that you want to be in. Whether you realize it or not now, you're going to be amazing on the other side. It's absolutely worth it. So
okay, well, yeah, I think you make a good point. People, it's just fear,
absolutely,
and not
just
knowing, and then judgment after that.
We live in a fear-based society, and that's a really unfortunate thing. I mean, if we weren't scared of flying, not that I suggest it, you know, because of physics and everything, we could all jump off of cliffs and maybe, I don't know. But you get what I'm saying.
I hope you're not telling us to jump off a cliff.
We don't jump off a cliff.
Not try that at home.
But we live in a fear-based society that we can't, you know, there's so many people that can't do art because they're scared of what other people will say, or they're scared of saying what they think because they're afraid of judgment. I mean, we live in a society that really focuses on those things, and to live outside of that seems insane to most people. So I think living away from that is a very positive, but sometimes a difficult thing to understand if you're not inside of the fear-based thing. So,
all right. Yeah, I agree. Let's go ahead and listen to the clip, and then we'll talk a little bit more about that. So here is Terence McKenna.
Harking back to my notion that the responsibility always rests on us, and that you don't want to go out and immediately form a movement to change those guys or that bureau, I think the thing that should be done is people who are involved in psychedelics should live lives of such exemplitude and impeccability that the notion that there was anything shady or wrong or curious about this phenomenon would be ludicrous.
Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about it a little bit. You go first.
I mean, I really like a lot of the things he has to say. He's a very intelligent man. I think the idea that people that do psychedelics or consciousness changing substances, the idea that they're dumb or they're just doing it to get high, man, you know, it's definitely not the case. I think a lot of people find a lot of amazing things that are difficult to talk about, and that's why you hear, you know, the hippie talk and this and that, but it's just different, and it's wise and it's amazing, and I think we need to live our lives like he was saying. I think that's a really good quote, that we need to try and do our very best so that when people see us and know that we believe in psychedelics in the way that we do, as a healing, powerful plant. But yeah, medicine that really helps, that more and more people will be open to it.
You know? I think, you know, and talk about the fear. We talked about this before the clip. People, I mean, the image that I always hear is common, and it's not realistic, you know, typical, although sure there are these fringe occurrences of horrible events around psychedelics. Idea of somebody jumping off the roof or cutting their best friend's head off. I mean, yeah, okay, I guess meth and heroin, you're talking like that, maybe. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, but
it's your body, your choice. But at the same time, you know, these are the images of fear we hear. Drug-addled people hunched together in some corner in some horrible debris-like place. But we're talking like doctors, or you seem very well balanced, you know, and you have a job.
I've met, you know, lawyers and doctors and people of all reaches of society that, you know, as far as society is concerned, is very intelligent, very focused. They're not just doing this to get, you know, fucked up or whatever. I mean, I really think it's a growing movement, and you really can't knock it till you've tried it. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and I know Terrence McKenna talks about this. If you just saw pretty colors and you felt kind of good for a little bit, you're not doing enough. You need to do enough that you get a message, and when you have that message, you know, see where it fits in your life and try to take off. You just can't. When your brain expands, when your consciousness expands to a point, it will never shrink back down. You just continue to want to expand and improve yourself and your society, and just keep running with that. And I think we are the movement that's going to change the world. It's slow and patient right now, but I really think it's in little moments.
I like that. And before we let you go, because I appreciate you coming on the show and talking to us, I hope it's not the last time.
Yeah.
You said you had something you wanted to read to us, is that right?
I did. I have a really, really good quote by Timothy Leary.
The man.
The man. and I really, really like it, and I think this would be good for the show. So here's his quote. Admit it, you aren't like them. You're not even close. You may occasionally dress yourself up as one of them, watch the same mindless television shows as they do, maybe even eat the same fast food sometimes. But it seems the more you try to fit in, the more you feel like an outsider, watching the, quote, normal people as they go about their automatic existences. For every time you say club passwords like, have a nice day, and the weather's awful today, huh? You yearn inside to say forbidden things like, tell me something that makes you cry. Or, what do you think deja vu is for? Face it, you even want to talk to that girl in the elevator. But what if that girl in the elevator and the balding man who walks past your cubicle at work are thinking the same thing? Who knows what you might learn from taking a chance on conversation with a stranger? Everybody carries a piece of the puzzle. Nobody comes into your life by mere coincidence. Trust your instincts. Do the unexpected. Find the others.
Wow. Find the others. And that's what we're doing here, right? We found you today.
Absolutely. And it's great to just see the evolution of the show and meet more and more people that have a similar vision. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We'll see you another time for sure. So everybody, that's it. That's the very first episode of The Psychedelic Secret. And
thank you
be
for
back
the honor
to listen to us. All right. You have a wonderful, wonderful week, and find the others.